Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We're broadcasting from 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And today from McHenry County Department of Health and Animal Control, we have Jason Enos, Animal Control Officer, and Kathleen Cash, Health Educator. Welcome both of you to Around Town. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having us.
So, what's a typical day like working for McHenry County Animal Control?
So as officers, we do multiple tasks around the shelter, but like any animal owner, we are picking up poop from your dog and cleaning the kennels that they stay in throughout the night. We walk the dogs, sometimes socialize them, and you know get to know who likes each other or doesn't like each other. We bring them back, clean their cages, and give them fresh blankets every day, make sure their water's full, and
So that's how your day starts in a kennel. How do you educate the community, Enos?
Well, as officers, we go out on calls. We are complaint-driven, so we get calls from the public or police that we, as officers, have to respond to. McHenry County is pretty large. There's 611 square miles of county, and we operate 24/7. What that means, our business hours are 8 to 4:30, but there is always an officer on call 24 hours, including federal holidays. We average around 9,000 calls a year as officers, and those are calls that we are either going out on, making phone calls on, or just generally interacting with the public.
What about, rabies and vaccinations, things like that? And also, I'm sure you get calls being in McHenry County and this whole area with different animals that maybe are rabid, and you have to go out and collect them.
Oh, so the wildlife that we go out on is primarily sick or injured or posed to a health risk of the public. You know, the sick or injured is pretty self-explanatory. You see a raccoon that's walking around, looks like he's drunk in your front yard, falling over, seizuring, you know, that's when you would call us. But the health risk, there's one story. We went out and there was a family of cranes, two parent cranes and a smaller crane. The smaller crane was in someone's backyard and was deceased. The parent cranes were hovering and charging anybody that got near. So that's an instance where we would go out and, you know, collect that baby crane. We are not licensed to pick up deceased wildlife, but if it poses a public health risk. As far as rabid animals go, you're talking about raccoons, skunks, and what you think may be rabies is more likely distemper in this area.
And at the raccoons, usually when you see them in the daytime, that's when you know there's something wrong?
Generally, if it hasn't rained in a while and they're looking for a puddle, or if someone in the neighborhood is by chance feeding them, they may be in the area and seem a little bit more friendly. Or if you see a raccoon in daytime, but if there's a raccoon laying in your yard for hours and, like I said, is shaking or, you know, showing forms of mucus coming out of their mouth and eyes, that's more of a sign of distemper.
So how do you educate the community to know what to look for so people understand just exactly what you're talking about?
If you go on our website, mcdh.info, it kind of goes over the symptoms, the signs and symptoms, what to look for. There's a lot of resources in the county.
Can you give that website one more time so folks can write that down?
It's mcdh.info. And that's great. The Department of Health website.
Okay. And then from there, they get a lot of information that you can pass along to them that they should know to educate themselves. What are some of the other things that we should be looking for?
Well, as far as rabies goes, we've sent out however many animals as specimens, and the most in the last 10 years that have been positive rabies were 4 a year in this county, and those have been almost all bats. So when you're looking for rabies in an animal, you know, just think You know, again, if it's walking drunk, seizuring, if it's abnormally aggressive, that is something that we would deal with. But we don't test these animals for rabies if there's no exposure. So what we should pass along is to not go up to that raccoon and poke it with a stick, whether it's laying in your yard or not. You know, call the professionals. There are wildlife removal services out there. It's a quick Google search away. You know, if it's after hours, or, you know, we come out and say it's healthy. You know, not everybody wants a raccoon in their yard. Not everybody wants a raccoon in their trash can. But because it's seen in the day doesn't mean it's not hungry or thirsty or, you know, looking for food. Because especially right now, we're in breeding season for wildlife, and it's something that you may see a raccoon rogue during the day, maybe looking for food, or maybe near its nest. It's a little done.
Do you see more raccoons than you do other types of animals in our area, as far as those that might be rabid?
Yes, raccoons are primarily the wildlife that we deal with that are sick or injured. Some skunks, possums are tricky, but you know, if they're laying in your yard, they may be playing dead, and then bats.
So their name, possum.
Yes, they do live up to it. Name. Yeah, I could tell you the test is, which nobody in the public should be doing, is if you grab their tail and they give you a handshake with their tail, they're fine. So that's kind of our test. So if we get called out on a possum and we bring it back to be evaluated by our kennel staff or, you know, our field operations director, you know, it is evaluated to see if it's healthy or not.
So what do you do to protect yourself? Because, you know, you have to be concerned about your own physical being, too, going after these animals that are ill.
Yes. So animal control officer training, you know, when I got hired, they said it was 9 months of training, which really it's 12. Because animal control goes by seasons. Obviously, we're coming into wildlife season. You know, the summer is more like dogs being left outside types of calls. But, you know, we are fully equipped with nets, cat grabbers, gloves, large nets, you know. And it's not like we just hire somebody and send them out and say, oh, there's a bunch of stuff in your truck.
Right.
And good luck. You know, there is a training involved, you know, if there's a bunny in a window well. That was one of my first solo calls.
Okay.
You know, you got to go in there, get something for it to walk itself out or pick it up. And, you know, it comes with time as far as how to react to a situation, but every situation is different, really.
Can you tell us what McHenry County Department of Health Animal Control does as far as offering the community different services and things like that, Enos?
So as we talked about, we respond to the calls on sick or injured wildlife or public health risks. We also reunify people with their lost pets. You know, a lot of the calls we get about stray animals are mostly dogs, but we do get cats, and we do everything we can as officers in the field to bring that animal back to their owner before it touches our shelter.
Now, when you find a lost pet, are you going by the device that normally implant in the animals to trace them and track them?
Yes. So there's two ways to identify an animal that is lost, or maybe three. If you go to your local pet store and get the engraved collar, that's the most obvious one. Your dog or cat is required by law to be vaccinated and registered with rabies. And when you register your dog or cat with rabies, you are supplied with a McHenry County tag that has its specific identification on it through the county. And then, yes, we do use the microchip scanners in the field, and we work with police. They also have microchip scanners. So the first contact with that dog is scanned for a microchip immediately.
Is that the safer bet, the microchip, Enos? In case someone forgets to put the collar on or, you know, whatever, and the dog gets out the door, and the cat gets out the door, by having the microchip, isn't that a lot safer overall?
It is, and it's such the thing about microchips is your vet should be asking and scanning for a microchip when you get it, and it gives us a direct link to your pet when we have it in our system as being microchipped. It is the safer bet. Now, when you get a microchip from when you first get the dog, whether you get it from a rescue or a foster, you know, get a microchip and then register it with the company or with a microchip provider company, because the vets are going to make mistakes and not always ask, you know, is your dog microchipped? You know, we all may oversee something at one point, or, you know, the microchips migrate. You know, in an older dog, the microchip might not be where you implant it between the shoulder blades. You know, it can migrate. So someone's got to scan that dog slowly throughout its entire body.
Okay, that's interesting.
And it's, you know, it is a process, but, you know, if your dog or cat is microchipped, you know, we're coming up on summer, so people are going to be doing renovations on their house. And if your dog is outside while you're getting your floors done, you know, and it breaks the lead because you don't normally keep it outside, you know, that dog is, you know, somebody's going to come pick up that dog. There's a lot of people in McHenry County that want to do the right thing and return that dog to its owner. And that is the direct link that we have to find the dog in the field.
If you're interested in adopting an animal from McHenry County Animal Control, the first thing you need to do is fill out an application. Once the application is approved, then we schedule a time for you to come and meet our adoptable pets. If you're interested in adopting a dog and you currently have a dog, we like to do a meet and greet so that we know that not only do the people in the family like the dog, but the dogs are actually going to get along. If you're interested in adopting a cat, we don't do a meet and greet for those, for cats. You just come in and meet who you like, and that would be your new cat.
Good.
At the adoption appointment, we discuss, you know, what kind of animal you're looking for, personalities, space. If you have a small apartment, it may be better to have a smaller dog. But what we want is, we don't just want to find a home for our animals. We want to find the right home, and that can be sort of a process. And people are, we appreciate anyone that comes to adopt from us. And
sure. That's kind of like the article that was in the newspaper about 6 months ago that the officer in McHenry County here found the turtle in the middle of the road, stopped his police squad car, and got out, picked up the turtle, you know, put it in his vehicle, and took it to a shelter, because it was just kind of wandering out in the middle of the road. So it's things like that people do, because everyone has love in their heart for an animal.
Yes.
What about, you talk about transporting of animals, federally protected birds. What's that all about, Enos?
You know, so again, we get sick or injured wildlife. Federally protected birds, that's pretty much any bird you see other than a pigeon, English sparrow, or starling. So just as an example, you know, if you've got a geese that's hobbling on one leg and can't open its wing, you know, you can give us a call. There are wildlife rehabilitators in the area that we transport these birds to. It's like any sick or injured wildlife. We bring it back for evaluation. So the animal control officer in the field evaluates it, and we contact our rehabilitators. Now, these rehabilitators, they work with a lot of animals, raptors, geese, owls, turkeys. We brought them all there. They've got housing, and they take care of them. And, you know, if you call in and you've got a injured turkey in your yard, and all of a sudden animal control comes out and takes it, and then 2 weeks later that turkey's back in your yard, but it's healthy. That's kind of what happened, is those rehabilitators.
We're going to pause for a minute to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And we are today talking to Jason Enos and Kathleen Cash from the McHenry County Health Animal Control Department. These different animals that we're talking about, what about deer? Is that a population problem in McHenry County? You know,
we don't get a lot of deer. You know, we haven't heard anything about population problem. I'm not sure about the hunting regulations in the area, but you know, we don't deal with a lot of sick deer. That's more of a sheriff like you would want to call the police officer or law enforcement on that.
Okay. Kathleen, can you tell me about pet adoption service?
Sure. We have an adoption center at McHenry County Animal Control. Most of our pets, most of the cats and dogs we have been, they came to us as a stray. We occasionally get other pets, like rabbits or an occasional snake. We have a chicken right now. So the pets that we get, like I said, are either came to us as stray or relinquished. When a stray animal comes to animal control, they're automatically put on a 7 business day stray hold. At that time, we are taking care of them, feeding them, cleaning their kennels. If they're injured, they would be getting medication. These animals are posted on 24petconnect.com. And they are also shared by many social media groups on Facebook. If an owner hasn't been located or come forward by 4:30 on the 7th business day, that animal then becomes ours, the property of the county. And once they become ours, that's when they can be vetted, which includes spay-neuter, getting vaccinated, tested for heartworm and some other things, microchipped. They get nails trimmed. They're treated for fleas and ticks. And then once they've been vetted and they're healed up from being spayed or neutered, that's when they become available for adoption.
Okay, and how long do you hold an animal that's up for adoption? Is there a period of time?
No. So dogs and cats, once they're available for adoption, they are with us until they're adopted. So we had a dog that came in as a stray. He was with us for 183 days. So, you know, you walk by these animals every day. You take them out. You pet them. You feed them. You take care of them. And you grow to love them as if they were your own. And it gets to be a lot. 183 days is a long time. And he knew that we loved him. We know that he loved us. But we didn't want to be his home. He needed to find a home. And I got a random phone call one day from someone that was looking for a dog. And after a short conversation, it made sense for her to come and meet Gabriel. And after 183 days, he was adopted that day. So it doesn't matter if some dogs are with us for a few days and are adopted, and others like Gabe are there for a really long time. But we do our best.
Now, if an animal becomes ill while in being held at your facility, you have veterinarians available?
We have a vet that comes once a week. So we have animals that, you know, if a dog had come in and been hit by a car, it automatically goes there, and they take care of that animal until it can be either brought back to us, or a lot of times they'll go straight to a rescue from there.
Okay. You know, what I'd like to fit in before you run out of time is, Enos, can you tell us about the concern with bats?
So bats are the highest carriers of rabies in this area. Like I said, of the animals tested in McHenry County in the last 10 years, we've had the most cases of rabies is 4, and it's almost predominant. It is all bats. You know, if it's coming to that season where bats are going to be looking for a place to stay in the middle of the night, so there are ways to bat-proof your house, you know, including chimney caps. You know, it's a quick Google search away. There are resources on mcdh.info in the resources tab, but bats are kind of tricky. We don't want you touching the bat, any contact with the bat. You know, we would have to send it out as a specimen to be tested for rabies. There was a case, I believe it was 2019, where a man woke up with a bat on his neck, and that would be a time when we would send that bat out for testing. That man refused rabies treatment. Because the bat flew away and animal control was not called. That man died from rabies. because rabies is 100% fatal in humans, and bats are the highest carrier. We want to take every precaution we can to make sure that everybody's safe. And that that case with the old man was the first time in 40 years in Illinois that there was a confirmed human rabies.
Do you find the bats more in the rural part of the county, or could they be in heavily populated areas too?
Oh, I mean, we found them in Crystal Lake. You know, they come into businesses. I went into a business and there was one just hanging like Batman off the ceiling, and just grab it up. There are a lot of rural areas, but you know, they've been found in, you know, strip malls and, you know, people's houses, obviously. You know, and the thing about bats is when they're flying around, they're not really dive bombing you. They're trying to get out. They're going to fly until they're tired, and then they're going to find somewhere to hide. And that's when you would, you know, put a towel, if you could contain them in a room, put a towel under the door. Because the thing about bats is they only need the size of a dime to squeeze through.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if you've got an unfinished basement and call us looking for a bat, you know, that bat could be, you know, outside by the time we get there. But if it's in a bedroom, you know, they like to hang out on, you know, window shades and things like that, and we come and scoop it up. If it is flying around your house and you do catch it while it's resting or trying to find a way out, you know, if you have an old coffee can, old mixed nuts can, you can put it over it and put a piece of cardboard under there and, you know, have it contained before we get there. But, you know, any contact with a bat, we want to send it out.
Is there a particular time of the year that bats are more predominant?
Definitely late spring, summer, and fall, the warmer months when the bats are active.
And what are they looking for food? Are they looking for a place to build a nest? What?
They're generally just looking for shelter. They might have lost their way or lost other bats. They just want somewhere to go in. They don't, you know, I don't know if they can differentiate between their nest and their, but we don't, you know, we don't deal with bat nests in attics or in chimneys. You know, that's more of a wildlife removal service. If you got a bat in your home or wake up and there's a bat in the room, then we would come out and...
Now you're making me go back and check my house to make sure there's no bats around.
Yeah, I mean, it is a concern. You know, it is the highest carrier of rabies within our little strip of the Midwest here from...
And yet they have a purpose, though.
Yep.
They have a purpose, like all animals have a purpose. They're here for a reason. You know, it may not be what we like, but they're here for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, bats are... The thing about bats is they're freaky, you know. When I was in college, I had a bat crawl up through my kitchen sink. And it's like, wait a minute, what do I do with this bat? Like, you know, yeah. That was weird.
How did he do that?
I have no idea. It was it was a college house, a rental.
Oh, well, yeah, that's going to be a mess to begin with, right?
Yeah.
You know, we should talk about, and I don't know if it's going to be you, Enos, or not, but about volunteer opportunities for residents. If that's something that you want to pick up on, Kathleen?
Sure. we have quite a few volunteer opportunities. Because of the amount of cleaning and socializing that we do with all of our animals, it's always nice to have an extra set of hands. So you can go on the McHenry County website that we've talked about before and complete an application. Like I said, socializing cats, helping to clean, walking dogs. Most of our dogs are pretty large, so if you're comfortable walking big dogs, we can always use you. So you would just fill out an application, and then we would contact you and get you in.
Do you have to be a certain age?
Over 18.
Okay. And that would be like one day a week, 2 days a week?
Some people come one day a week. Some people come twice a week. Some come once every other week. We would just go by your schedule and figure out what you could do to help us.
Well, we're at a point now where I want to thank both Enos and both Kathleen for spending time with us from the McHenry County Department of Health and Animal Control. It was great having you share your stories with us and telling us more about what the department does, the work you do, the effort you put into it, and how important it is to the county. And for folks that are out there that have any questions, is there a phone number that they can call by chance?
Our main office line is 815-459-6222.
Well, thank you to both of you. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com, contact us, and you can go to Around Town and pick up the story. And until next time, folks, have a great day.